Second Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, from page 1475. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, following cleverly imagined fables, but having been eyewitnesses of his majesty, for we received from God the Father honour and glory. Such a voice being uttered to him by the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. And this voice we heard, uttered from heaven, being with him on the holy mountain. And we have a prophetic word made sure, to which ye do well, taking heed, as to a lamp shining in an obscure place, until the day dawn, and the morning star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that the scope of no prophecy of Scripture is had from its own particular interpretation. The prophecy was not ever uttered by the will of man, but holy men of God spake under the power of the Holy Spirit. Book of the Revelation, chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 24, page 1490. But to you I say, the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I do not cast upon you any other burden, but what you have, hold fast till I shall come. And he that overcomes, and he that keeps unto the end my works, to him will I give authority over the nations, and he shall shepherd them with an iron rod, as vessels of pottery, or they broken in pieces, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give to him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. Finally, at the very end of Revelation 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things to you in the assemblies. I, in the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. He that will, let him take the water of life freely. And to say a few words to you of the cult of the Holy Spirit and the particular glory of the Lord Jesus that is peculiar to the day that we live in. A glory that's not attributed to any other time in the dispensations that have occurred, but a glory that is only seen in the day in which we live. That's the glory of the Lord Jesus as the morning star. It's only referred to three times in the Scripture, and I've read every reference that I could find anyway to the morning star in the New Testament. It's only found in the New Testament. It's first reference in Peter, written by Peter, I think when he was in a prison in Rome. The second epistle of Peter is one of the prison epistles. Towards the end of his life, he was nearing death. He was probably waiting the death penalty, as we would say, in prison. But he had in his heart the brightness of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And that's what I've read to you about. The power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's what filled Peter's heart, and it took him back to the glory of the thought of the Lord Jesus coming back and returning. It was what filled his heart in those closing days of his life here on earth. And he wrote about it in his second epistle to encourage the brethren that he was writing to. He wanted to put them in mind of the things that had established him, that helped him in his life. And he wanted to make them know the certainty and the reality of the Lord's coming. Mm-hmm. He begins by speaking to them of things that were not cleverly imagined stories. They weren't things that had been dreamt up or written about. They were things that he knew were absolute facts. Mm-hmm. Things that he had witnessed, that we having been eyewitnesses of his majesty. So he knew what it was to speak about the glory of the Lord Jesus, for he'd seen the glory of the Lord Jesus in a way that no one else had. Well, apart from those that were with him, John and James. And Peter describes his glory as the glory of a morning star. And in Peter's expression, he says, we would do well to take heed of all that's been said about the Lord Jesus by way of the prophetic word. And till the day dawn and the morning star arise in your hearts. Now perhaps I better say a little bit about what I understand by a morning star. And you'll realise, I think, why it is a glory that's unique to the Lord Jesus for the day in which you and I are living. The morning star is a star that you see as the day is about to break. So the sky, when at midnight, for example, the darkest time of the night, you see many, many stars. Indeed, the sky is a wonderful delight to me. I love looking at the stars in the sky. Millions and millions of them. Vast areas of space that we can vastly, but scarcely comprehend. Distances at which light travels help us to see the vast scope of God's creation. But at midnight you see many, many stars. But as the night continues, and as it gets closer and closer to morning, the sky starts to lighten. The sun's nowhere to be seen. But the influence of the sun is starting to have its effect, and the sky starts to lighten. And gradually, the numbers of stars that you can see start to get less and less. And gradually you'll see that maybe there's just one or two stars that you can see, but one of them will be brighter than all the others. And that one bright star is the morning star. It's the one that people at that time of day who are, well, time of night, should we say, what you might call the third or fourth watch of the night, is that time when people will look up and they'll see one star remain, the morning star. And it's a great delight to see it, because you know that almost immediately on seeing that star, you know that the day is about to dawn, and that the sun in all its brightness is about to shine on the earth. And that to me is a wonderful picture of the day that we are living in. Look, it's a dark day that we're living in. The world around us, characterized by the absence of the Lord Jesus, is a dark place. And it's not easy to find anything bright, anything joyful in the world around us. But as Christians, you and I should be lights in the world. We should be like stars shining in the sky. But we're never going to be like the morning star. That's something that only the Lord Jesus himself can do in our hearts. But you know, if we have that morning star in our hearts, as Peter says, if that morning star arises in your heart and in my heart, we will, in this night scene, be able to shine a little like a star and make a difference in this to those that are around. They might see something different in you and I. As we were speaking of this afternoon, if Christ is in us, if the morning star has risen in our hearts, there should be an effect on our lives, and there should be something that we can take account of. We should be able to sing to one another with joy in our hearts. We should be able to express something of the joy of the nearness of the Lord's return. And I think that's what I would like for there be to be more of in my life. The reality of the Lord is about to come. The joy of that moment affecting my life here today. And I think that's what Peter was trying to impress upon those to whom he was writing, that the glory of the Lord Jesus is a real thing. He's about to come and shine on this world, but to you and I that are waiting for him, that know him as our Lord and Saviour, is he shining like a morning star in our lives today? The dark scene around us, the night that we're living through, it's almost gone, The day is at hand, but do we know the Lord Jesus as the morning star? Is he shining brightly in our hearts? Well, that's the burden of my message tonight. So I thought we'd look at these scriptures that speak of the Lord Jesus as the morning star and see what we can learn from them. Well, this first one, as I've said, Peter speaks from the experience of having seen the Lord Jesus in a glory that I think helped him to appreciate the coming of the Lord Jesus and what the brightness of that day will be, what the glory will be when he sees Jesus face to face, because he was eyewitnesses of his majesty there on the mountain. And we can look back at three of the Gospels and record that wonderful moment. The Lord took James, Peter and John up onto the mountain. And it says that there suddenly became a change in the Lord Jesus when he was there. His clothes began to shine, his face became bright, and there was a glory that they saw. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And you remember that the cloud came down, the cloud of glory overshadowed them, and out of that cloud came a voice, God himself, speaking, this is my beloved Son, whom I have found my delight. Those are the things that Peter remembered and reflected upon. The glory that he saw of the Lord Jesus. The glory that belongs to him because of who he is, his deity. He is God. And he left that sphere where he was. And as Paul describes it in his epistle to the Philippians, it says, the Lord, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a woman's form. And what that means is that the Lord Jesus, in all his glory as a divine person, he could have insisted that that glory remain with him, but no, he didn't feel it necessary that that had to be. And he put it to one side. He emptied himself and he took a bondman's form. He came here as a man. He was like you and I in that sense. A human form. But more than that, it was a bondman's form, a servant, and he served. And his personal glory rarely shone when he was here amongst men. In fact, he looked like a normal man. Many times he had to be pointed out to those who wanted to see Jesus or to know him. And it wasn't always immediately obvious. That personal glory of his was veiled. He put it aside to take on his servant character as he came in service to his God and Father, doing his will, the way that led to the cross, where he was going to give his life for you and for me, so that you and I would have a Saviour that we could put our trust in, one who we could rely upon, one who could wash away our sins in his blood. Now, I trust there's no one here that doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus in that personal way as their own Saviour. You have no hope in your heart if you don't have Jesus as your Saviour. There'll be no glory that you can take account of, nothing that you can look forward to in the return of the Lord Jesus, because, you know, if you don't know him as Saviour, and if you don't go to be with him when he does come, for those that have put their trust in him, the next time that you see him, you will see him as the Son of Righteousness. It will be a time of judgment. There will be no joy in your heart then. It will be a real day of sadness and sorrow, because you will realise that you've missed the opportunity to know Jesus as your Saviour. But Peter is speaking to those that did know Jesus as their Saviour, speaking to those that needed encouragement, those that were going through trials and difficult circumstances, just like Peter himself was. And Peter knew the antidote for that. And that was to have the morning star rising in their hearts, a wonderful anticipation of the return of the Lord Jesus. And so I believe it is today. It's a glory that marks the Lord Jesus, who is about to return to claim us and take us to be with himself. That glory is the glory that is described in Scripture as the glory of the morning star. May we take heed of it. May we notice it. So Peter says, we've heard that voice uttered from heaven. He says, we have the prophetic word made sure. You know, you and I, it's good if we've got proof of these things. It would be nice to have proof, wouldn't it? I hear many Christians, or many unbelievers, I should say, well, I'm really confused. I'd love to have some proof that what you believe is true. Well, here Peter is saying, you've got all the proof that you need. You have the prophetic word made surer. Peter was an eyewitness of the glory of the Lord Jesus, the one who had been prophesied, the one whose glory had been spoken of throughout the Old Testament dispensations. Prophets had spoken of the Lord Jesus who was coming, spoken of his glory. People like Isaiah had seen that glory for themselves in a vision. Ezekiel had seen it too. What a wonderful vision he had of the glory of God and of the glory that is the glory too of the Lord Jesus. And Peter had the experience of the prophetic word made sure. He'd seen Jesus in all his glory. He'd seen Moses and Elias talking about what Jesus was about to do. And furthermore, with all the witnesses of the fact that Jesus had come, that he died, had been buried, and had been raised, Peter was a witness of all of that. And so you and I have that prophetic word made sure because of what Peter could tell us about. And that's what he's doing here in the scripture. And so the knowledge that the Lord Jesus is coming again, it's not a cleverly imagined fable. It's a reality. It's a fact. There are many scriptures that point to his return. Peter just adds a word as a prophecy. Don't pick a single piece of scripture and just rely on that. There's no prophecy of scripture is held from its own particular interpretation. I think he means that you take the scope of the scripture. You see the tenor of all the prophecies that relate to the Lord Jesus. And they're one, and they all have to be taken together. And they confirm, and they can make you and I understand the certainty of the return of the Lord Jesus. You know, he said himself, I will not leave you as orphans, but I am coming to you. Holy men of God spake under the power of the Holy Spirit. A wonderful further confirmation to us that the scriptures that we have, they're not just the writings of men, but it's God speaking to us. Men empowered by the Holy Spirit. God has spoken to us through them, and it's recorded for us in the scriptures. We can be sure that what is said in the Bible will take place. Well, Peter wanted to leave that impression, but above all, he wanted the glory of the morning star to arise in our hearts. Well, I trust that we've reached that point. I trust that Jesus has shone into your heart, and that the morning star character is there too, in your appreciation of it. He's coming again very, very soon. May the joy of it be with you. But to move on to Revelation chapter 2, the second reference to the morning star. Revelation was a note written by John. He also had been on the mountain. He'd also witnessed that same glory that Peter speaks of. John sees the glory of the Lord in a number of different ways. First chapter of John's Gospel, he saw a vision of the Son of Man. When he saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, he said. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I became dead, and behold, I am living to the ages of ages. It's the glory of the one of whom I'm speaking, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and to the ages to come. What a wonderful Saviour he is. Well, in chapter 2 of Revelation, John describes for us the various addresses of the Lord Jesus himself, personally, to the various assemblies, the seven assemblies. And I'm not going to speak about them all. Interesting, I was reminded when I was thinking of this scripture several years ago, and I remember sitting in this room, and my brother spoke about the seven addresses to the churches in Revelation, and maybe if you can find it in printed ministry, it'd be a good thing to read, see what a wonderful account this gives of the history of the church. The one I've read from is the address to Thyatira, and I think it's the fourth, or it's the last of four addresses, and they're all similar in character, and I think they represent states that are continuing until the day when the Lord returns. And so Thyatira was a reference to the until the day I shall come, we read in verse 24 and 25. But what we have, hold fast till I shall come. And it's something that characterizes the addresses to the last four churches, that the thought of the Lord coming is there. There's something else that marks them out as different as well, because the overcomer is mentioned before the verse that occurs in every address that says, he has had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. Another difference that makes these last four that characterises them as a set, perhaps, of addresses that we need to consider together. But this one to Thyatira, it's a salutary word, and it really touches on the breakdown of the church today that we see around us. The public church is in ruins. If you really want to see a representation of the Lord Jesus, can you find it in the public church today? There's even confusion as to whether this is a Christian country. There's confusion amongst church leaders as to what the truth is and as to the person of the Lord Jesus. And what the Lord says to Thyatira is really condemns. I have against thee that thou permittest the woman Jezebel, she who calls herself prophetess, and she teaches and leads astray my servants to commit fornication and eat of idol sacrifices. A picture of how far the church has departed from God's original thoughts. We touched on that this afternoon, mentioning how wonderful it would be if the character that marked the Christians in the early days of the Acts could be found. I don't think you will, because of what has happened. And these addresses really touch on the root of the problems that have led to the way things are today. But there is a message to those that, to the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say. Hold fast what you have until I come. That was the message to them. And then he goes on to speak to the he that overcomes. And he has a word for the overcomer in Thyatira. Someone that will, in a day to come, have authority over the nations. And shepherd them with an iron rod. That's the sort of prophecy I've broken in pieces. And I also have received from my Father. Now, the public church, as we see it today, will be judged in a day to come. But the wonderful thing is that there are individuals. And if you and I, as we've separated from that system of things, you know, we can be found, even today, amidst such public ruin, with a special word from the Lord Jesus that you get here. I will give to him the morning star. You know, despite all the ruin, we can have the joy of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the one who is coming. And we will know that until he comes, we can hold fast to what the scriptures present to us as to the truth and the reality of what the Lord is looking for in the day in which we are. Timothy, in Paul's epistle to Timothy, much of that is spoken on how they are to be in this day of ruin. So the Lord knows those that are his. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord withdraw from iniquity. goes on to speak about the great house. That's the public testimony. Mm-hmm. Not only gold and silver vessels, but wooden and earthen. But it goes on to say, if therefore one shall have purified himself from these, and separated himself from them, he shall be a vessel to honour, sanctified, serviceable to the Master, prepared for every good work. Goes on to say, youthful lusts flee, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Now that's really all we can say in a day of public ruin. Call upon those. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, the Lord's message to those who rest in Thyatira were, I will give to him the morning star, a special portion for the one that can overcome in a day such as is depicted in the address of Thyatira. So these two references are spoken about the morning star. But the final reference that I want to come to now in chapter 22 of Revelation is something added. It's the bright and morning star. Jesus personally appeals to us. You might say this is the last chapter of the Bible. Indeed, Revelation amongst one of the books that were written towards the end of those that were written in the New Testament. It may be that John's Gospel is the very last book that he written. But Revelation is amongst the closing writings that God has preserved for us in the Holy Scriptures. And Jesus makes his appeal, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things to you in the assemblies. He describes himself, I am the root and offspring of David. Another touch is to the divinity of the Lord Jesus. How can somebody be both the root and the offspring? There's a mystery to that, isn't there? He could say to those that questioned him when he was here, before Abraham was, I am. Another instance of how the Lord is the root of something as well as the offspring. But it particularly applies to David. David, who we read of in the Old Testament. And the Lord Jesus was often referred to as the son of David, of that line. You can trace, beginning with the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, and you can trace the Lord Jesus, his genealogy. And see that it can't be both the root and offspring of David, because it really is. But then he says, the bright and morning star. What a wonderful presentation of himself for those of us like you and I, living in the day just before his return. I wonder, do you appreciate him as your bright and morning star? Immediately, the response is, and the bright spirit and the bride say, come. Now, it's wonderful to me. The day in which we're living is marked by it being the assembly day, the church. That's the day in which the Lord Jesus, it's characteristic of the day that we live, Jesus risen on high, the Spirit here, forming his body here on earth, composed of all those that belong to him, those that are in Christ Jesus. That's the assembly of the bride. And the Spirit and the bride together say, come. You know, can you and I say, come today? Are we that in tune with the Lord Jesus and his movements? With the fact that he's very, very close to his return. Are we saying, come? And then the invitation goes out. Let him appear and say, come. Maybe you're not in the good of this yourself. Maybe you do know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, but maybe you're not in the joy of the imminence of his return. Maybe you're not holding yourself ready for him. Maybe you're not watching and waiting with the sense of urgency that, you know, should characterise us in the day in which we are. Well, the Lord Jesus would present himself to you as a bright and morning star, and may you not only be arising in your hearts, but may you have him in your hearts. May he be there in you as a bright and morning star. That was the word to the overcomer in Thyatira. I will give you the morning star. Have you received Jesus in that way? Is he in your heart, the bright and morning star? Do you have him? Well, if you do, you will be saying, come. Let him that hears say, come. You know, you're invited to also join in this experience, this joy of waiting for the Lord and being ready for him. Let him that is athirst come. You know, there's an invitation. Maybe that's the way that you and I can be, as having the Lord as the morning star in our hearts, as having him as a bright and morning star. Maybe there'll be an influence on those around that will invite them to come. Maybe you know what it is to reach out to those who are thirsting, but wanting this hope and joy in their hearts. He that will, let him take the water of life freely. There is something there in the Lord Jesus that can give refreshment, that can satisfy that thirst. He's available today. He won't be after he has come. That will be the end of this dispensation. All opportunity will be lost. Now is the time to come to the Lord Jesus, to know him in this way, as a bright morning star. Well, I didn't have a lot more to say. I just think it's wonderful, a wonderful glory of the Lord Jesus. It's special to the day that we live in. You know, those that were waiting for him to appear as the Messiah, you read about them at the end of Malachi. They spoke often one to another, but it wasn't the morning star that they were looking for. It was the Son of Righteousness that's spoken of there, the Son. Now that looks on to the appearing. The rapture is what I've been speaking about, the coming of the Lord Jesus to you and I. We speak about as the rapture. It's when he appears in the clouds, obscured from the general public, shall we say. They won't see him. But he's the bright and morning star in the night time. We can look and see him as that morning star. He will come in the clouds and we will be taken to be with him in the air. But for the rest, when he is seen publicly, it will be Son of Righteousness, no longer the morning star. That's why I say it's special for the day in which you and I are living. May we know something of the Lord Jesus as the bright and morning star in our lives. May we be looking for him, may we be ready for him, may we be saying, come. May the Spirit and the Bride, in that sense, the Spirit and the Bride do. Such is the love that the Lord Jesus has for his church, that the Spirit and the Bride respond in such a way. May we know it in our own hearts too, and may we have that glory just to keep us and to hold us. So that we hold fast what we have until it comes. And it is so.